Well, hello, dear friends, and welcome to Monday morning's version of Good Morning Live. I pray that you are having an incredible Monday morning so far, that you had a great weekend, and hopefully you worship the Lord. If you're in the Lancaster County, Pennsylvania area, I hope we saw you yesterday here at Hope City Church. But if you're not having the best morning, well, that's what we're here for, is to help you have a good morning by getting into the Word of God. I want to welcome our audience who watch and listen literally from around the world, not just on our social media platforms, but through the Pioneer Channel that is taking us right now to literally around the world today. So we're so glad to have you and glad that you are with us. Now, you are watching on a platform that you can comment, like, share, or subscribe. Do all the do's, if you know what I mean by that. You like, comment, let us know where you're watching from. Share this with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, be notified whenever we are going live. Our goal is to always bring you a fresh word of God to help encourage you and ignite your spirit and help you stay on the path following God forward. And what better way than to start your day in the word of God with us. So I'm so glad that you are here today. Well, it's a brand new week and a brand new theme for Good Morning Live in our teaching. And I don't always get a chance to theme, you know, the weeks. I try to whenever I can. It just kind of helps in my mind for preparation and teaching purposes to kind of say, well, this week, you know, we're going to take the 5 days and talk about that. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way, but I felt real strong about what we are to go over this week and to dive into. And what I want to talk about, and I don't necessarily have a title for the whole week, but I have a vibe, if you will, for the week. But it's really about breaking passivity and bearing the torch, if you will, of the reality that it's our time to see a move of God on the earth. And I have a series of devotions to help us navigate that, but this really sparked out of a conversation that I was having with a brother a week or two ago in the Lord, and just talking about, you know, more and more we're seeing those patriarchs in my life and in his life and just kind of in church life at large who are leaving the earth to go into their heavenly reward. And obviously just a few weeks ago, just with evangelist Jimmy Swaggart, going home to be with the Lord. And I really feel like that's a significant thing that happened. And obviously he you know, lived a long life and we celebrate that. But there's just this transition as you know, kind of those forerunners of what I would call the movement that I came up in and leaving the earth. And, you know, you kind of look back at what they did in their life and how they pioneered and all that they brought to the kingdom of God. And there just is that reality that sets in your mind and your heart that we are it. Like, you know, I'll turn 41 this year. And sometimes, you know, you hear people say that in my mind, I still think I'm like 20, but my body says otherwise. Like sometimes in my mind, you know, my vision, I think I'm 20, but the reality is, we are the people, the generation that's responsible of whether or not we see a move of God on the earth or not. And you might say, well, no, it's up to God. No, I firmly believe that God is always standing at the door knocking, ready to move, ready to come in, ready to you know, bring revival. That's his heart, that none should perish, that we would see a move of God on the earth, that he has a plan and a purpose for our generation and for this generation of people on the earth right now. But it rests and falls on the backs of the sons and daughters of God of whether or not we will do our part to see God move on the earth. So anyway, I was talking with this brother in the Lord, and we were just saying how just kind of that reality that hits that what happens in the earth right now, as far as you know, faith goes, it's resting on the backs of this generation, us. Like, we are it. Like, you know, I remember years ago driving by a bus stop, and I was probably in my 30s, and realizing for the first time the massive age difference between myself and those high school kids that were waiting for the bus. Because in my mind, I thought, well, I'm just a year or two away from, you know, far, you know, beyond that. And I realized, no, I'm about 15, 18 years away, apart from that. And the gap there is massive. Like, I just remember getting that one day, like, wow, you know, this is, but the same spiritually. And I say that because I think it's a sobering thing. And when you get the realization that there's not a generation over us that's like, well, we'll run back to mom and dad and they'll lead us out, or they're, you know, no, we are it. And what God is going to do in the earth rests on our backs of what we do with the time that he's given us. And we can placate and we can just sit back in the easy chair and just let culture run wild and, you know, let the world do what the world's going to do and just keep playing church. Or we can soberly take the mantle that says, if we are going to produce Billy Graham's and Jimmy Swaggart's, and we are going to produce a generation of revivalists and televangelists and missionaries and preachers that are going to shake the four corners of this world, then it's in our lap to do it. And it's in our lap to pray it through. And it's in our lap to sow and to give and to see that happen in the earth. And so I was just talking about that with a brother this week. And I thought, you know what? We got to talk about this on Good Morning Live, because the time is in our hands. It's in our laps, and what we choose to do with it will make the difference. So I don't know. I just think that many believers want a move of God, but very few of us really understand what it truly cost. Right? Like, we say revival, 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 right? Revival's not a flash mob of emotions, right? I did a message years ago, and I'm going to kind of allude to that today a little bit. But I think revival is a marriage of God's thunder with our blood. It's his power with our participation, right? Like, we're not spiritual spectators. We are torchbearers. The fire of revival won't fall without a cost. Revival will not erupt without a sacrifice. And I just, you know, there's that old kind of analogy that what one generation, I forget how it's worded, but what one generation, if we're not careful, what one generation fights for, the next generation will count common, and then the third generation will deem it useless. And we got to contend to not lose the ground that we have, that's been won in the gospel in previous generations, but we have to fight to contend to see the gospel move forward. Like, you know, even just church attendance in this generation, man, has just fallen where, you know, now our churches are bigger than we know, but we never see it because now they say that the average church attender attends 1 out of 5 Sundays, where previously it was 3 out of 5 Sundays, right? Like, it's just shifted. And if we're becoming that complacent with church attendance, how much more complacent will the next generation perceive church to be and count it useless, even though the Bible says that we're to assemble together even more as that day approaches. So what I'm saying is we have to steward well the platforms that God has given us, steward well what previous generations fought to provide, the revelations that they birthed in prayer and through the Spirit and studied and fasted and gave for, and not lose it and not let it be thrown away and not let it just fall to the wayside, but we have to contend for that and then step into what God's wanting to do in the earth today. So I say it is, revival is a result of God's thunder with our blood. So I want to talk a little bit about thunder, because I think thunder represents God's power at work. Exodus 20, verse 18 gives us this scripture that says, "Now, when all the people saw the thunder and flashes of lightning, they trembled." Thunder, many times in scripture, is a symbol of God's voice and his power. When God showed up on Mount Sinai, that the people didn't just hear him, they felt him. They could feel the thundering voice of God coming from the mountain. They didn't even, you know, I know he was speaking to Moses, but the rumbling and the smoke, it was a demonstration that when God spoke, there was power and shaking, and they could feel the very moving of God. And it was a reminder that that thunder represented that God is all powerful, that represented his majesty, that here's the thing about thunder is no one can manufacture thunder. Like, I don't care the best recording of thunder, we'll never, because we've tried for different church services. Remember one time we wanted this like thunder. We did our best, but recapture the magnitude of the sound of thunder crashing across the sky. Like, there's something majestic about it. There's something that makes us feel small and insignificant in its, when we hear its sound. It reminds us of its divine movement, that you can't plan for thunder. You can't schedule thunder, right? It's a force outside of our own ability to control, right? Like, even Psalms 29:3 says that the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory says he thunders. The God of glory thunders, like his voice is over the water, and there's just that bigness to it. Revelations 4:5, again, keeping in this terminology of the voice of God being like thunder, or the moving of God, it says, "From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder." There's something primal inside of us that responds to thunder. It makes us feel small, but it awakens an awe on the inside of us. It reminds us God is God and we are not. Thunder cannot be imitated. You can imitate charisma. You can know when to sit down and when to stand and when to shout and how to pray and, you know, and put on the show and do all of those things, but you cannot imitate thunder. That's what the church has tried to do now. We've tried with our light shows and our rehearsed services. We tried to duplicate thunder. What did I mean? We try to duplicate like there's a move of God, minusing the moving of God. We will convince people that God is here and he's moving, but the reality is when God moves, there's a thunder that cannot be imitated, cannot be reproduced. I've said that for years, that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that destroys the burden. How do I know God has been in the house? How do I know God is moving? How do I know God's in the service? Because people's burdens are being removed. Yokes are being destroyed. Why? Because that's what the anointing can do. You can't fake the anointing. You can fake a show. But the reality is, if people are leaving and their lives aren't being changed and transformed and impact, then what we have is a performance minus the anointing. And then what I'm saying is, you can't duplicate the thunder of God. You can't duplicate the moving of God or fake the anointing of God. Why? Because the evidence is in the outcome. The evidence is in changed lives. The evidence is a hardened heart being softened. The evidence is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit being present. Not did you feel something emotionally, not did they sing your favorite song, not if it's your favorite preacher. The evidence is in the anointing. You can imitate character, but you cannot imitate thunder. You can program lights and sound, but you cannot produce his presence. Thunder silences the room. God still speaks from the cloud. And that's what God brings. He brings his thundering voice. He brings his anointing. He brings the moving of his spirit. He brings all of that with him. But if thunder is what only God can do, then blood represents what only we can offer. Blood represents our sacrifice here on earth. Leviticus 17, 11 says, For the life of the flesh is in the blood. It is in the blood that makes the atonement. Philippians 2, 17 says, even if I am to be poured out as the drink offering, I rejoice. So what am I saying? The New Testament idea of worship isn't just about lifting our hands. It's about laying down our life. It's about offering sacrifice. It's about living a life surrendered to God. So he says we are to be a living sacrifice. So hear me out on this. When I'm saying God brings the thunder and we bring the blood, I'm not talking about blood, natural blood sacrifice. Come on. Your blood still flows in this sacrifice because that means you still have a purpose. But what it means is that every day you wake up, you have something to pour out, something to give, something to lay at the feet of Jesus, a new day to surrender, a new sacrifice to make. You're not just saved from something. You're not just saved to be redeemed from hell and the curse, which you are, but you are saved for something. You are saved to have an impact on the earth. You are saved to gather as many people with us as we can to come into the heavenly gates. Like, I know we long for his coming, but really the prayer of the church should be, Lord, tarry just another day. Wait another day where there's more souls to be saved and lives to be impacted and people who have yet to hear the glorious gospel. So don't come yet, Jesus. We still have work to do. That's not been the cry of the church. The cry of the church is, come now, deliver us from our problems, make it as easy as you can for us, just get us out of this literal hellhole, right? But really the heart of the church should be, Jesus, just wait, give us one more minute, one more hour to pour ourselves out, to see revival, to see people come to the saving knowledge of who you are. That we can fill the throne room of heaven. We're not just saved from something, but we're saved to do something. And listen, we are called to bleed for it. Ministry, I have found after 21 years of pastoring, isn't glamorous. Ministry is costly. Being a torchbearer for the gospel means saying, my life is not my own. We must say, like Paul did, I will most gladly spend and be spent. He says that in 2 Corinthians 12, 13. I will most gladly spend and be spent. I will give everything I have to see God move on the earth in my generation. Listen, there's no one coming to rescue us. There's no one coming to do it for us. What you see happen, what will happen in your home, and what will happen in your community, what will happen in your city and in your church is determined by what you do with the time that God gives you on this earth. But here's the power of the two. We have God's thunder and our blood, our sacrifice. And when the two mingle together, that's when revival explodes. That's when the impossible happens. When you take what only God can do and what only we can give, the results are unstoppable. God brings the fire, but we bring the wood. He thunders and we obey. And that's when heaven meets earth and blood and thunder collide. This life isn't, well, let's just let go and let God, right? Like, well, if God wants it, it'll happen. No, that's not in your Bible. Too often we think our spiritual life is like a cruise ship. We just sit back and let God work and we watch the show. But James 2:20 says to us, faith without works is dead. Why? Works alone will profit you nothing, but faith without accompanying works is dead. So God, save my family. I'll wait. You're not getting nothing. God, save my city. I'll sit right here and watch as you do it. No, faith without works is dead. So what do? We roll up our sleeves. We trust him, but we roll up our sleeves. We pray like it's up to him, but we work like it's up to us. That's revival. That's thunder and blood coming together. That's what only God can bring, meeting what only we can sacrifice and give, coming together. So what I'm saying is, God's not standing in heaven saying, well, I don't know if I want to save this generation. I don't know if I want to see people in revival and cities in revival. I don't know if I want to see the church grow and expand. No, he's saying, I'm looking. My eyes are roaming to and fro in the earth. I'm seeking and I am searching. I am waiting. I am looking to find someone somewhere who will step up and step in and say, I'm not willing to just pray for it. I'm willing to step into it. I'm willing to sacrifice for it. I'm willing to give towards it. I'm willing to fast for it. I'm willing to pray for it. I'm willing to get involved. I'm willing to contend. I'm willing to sacrifice and put my life on the line for it. And when the aroma of that sacrifice meets heaven, we will always see the thunders of God. Remember, the Bible says that our sacrifices ascend to heaven like a sweet-smelling aroma. It's almost like that vapor of that, you know, when heat hits the ground and there's that vapor that comes up that causes thunderstorms, that causes storms that release thunder. Why? Because vapor left the earth. I don't have time to give you a lesson in this, but vapor left the earth and went up and caused conditions that were ripe to release thunder. My God. God is in the heavens saying, I'm just looking for the aroma. I'm looking for the vapor of sacrifice on the earth. I'm looking to hear the cries of my people. I'm looking to see their tears and to see their action. I want to see that my people are ready and they're willing to step up and to step into what I want to do. And when that aroma arises before God, it creates the environment to release the thunderings of God. What am I saying? I'm saying, God, we're not waiting on him to move. God, bring revival. God, do it. God, save my family. God, you know, turn my church around. And God is saying, I don't know what you're asking me to do. I'm waiting for the conditions to be ripe. And you are the conditioner. You are the one that releases the aroma. You are the one. I am the one. So we're asking God to do what he's waiting for us to do. What are we offering God to work with? What is the aroma that we are lifting up? Ask yourself this. Are you asking for thunder without bleeding for the cause? Are you praying for revival but refusing to fast? Refusing to give generously? Refusing to forgive? Come on, the Bible says if we don't forgive others, he can't forgive us and he can't work through unforgiven people. Are we showing up? You know, I talked about, you know, Jimmy Swaggart and Billy Graham and just, you know, the what they build and, you know, the crusades that they had around the globes and all of that was, you know, even in realms of giving, was birthed on the backs of people who said, we want to see souls and gave sacrificially to see it happen. To host crusades and rent out arenas and, you know, pay for the follow-up and the TV airtime and all of those things. People gave sacrificially to see the kingdom of God move forward. I'm sorry. I just think we're living in a generation that is so consumed with self-comfort that we say, well, that's not, you know, my problem. If God wants to do it, then he'll provide it. And, that, you know, I don't know why they're asking for money, because where there's a harvest of souls, the fields are white, the fields are white, but the laborers are few. And I'm saying is, if we are more consumed with being comfortable and being, you know, sitting back and just saying, well, I'll just see what God does, we will see God do nothing. No mighty works. And I'm sorry, I do not want that to be said of my generation. That my generation saw no great move of God, because there were no people who were willing to bleed in their giving, bleed in their fasting, bleed in their forgiving, bleed in their showing up. Listen, you can't expect God to rain down fire on an altar that you refuse to build. You build the altar and he provides the fire. You provide the sacrifice. He always responds with fire. We're waiting for fire. God says, I'm waiting for sacrifice. Listen, God's waiting on us and we're waiting on him. Who's in the wrong? It's not God. We want it. God wants to do it. But he's saying, send up the aroma of sacrifice. Send up the aroma from the altars again. Be willing to bleed for what you are praying for. You want the fire? Build an altar. Where is God calling you today to bleed? And of course, you know, I'm not talking about physically, but where is God calling you to bleed? What part of your comfort, your time, your pride is he asking for? We want to see a harvest of souls, but we refuse to get involved in our communities, in our neighborhoods. We refuse to tell our coworkers about Jesus. Come on. It's a sad day when we rarely have to replace the invite cards in the lobby of our church. Like, you know, you're like, wow, I'm not an extrovert. Listen, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been preaching in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their life. Let me shake some religious people to their core. The evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their life was not speaking in tongues. Do we believe in speaking in tongues? Yes. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, right? We want that. We believe that that's power. But the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their life was not speaking in tongues, but was boldness. What did Jesus say? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be empowered to give each other goosebumps, to prophesy over each other, you know, to lay hands on it. No. To be my witnesses to the four corners of the world. We claim we have the power of the Holy Spirit, but the evidence of the Holy Spirit being active in the life of a person or a church has never been in the gifts manifesting. But God says, you want to see, you want the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit? Then show me souls. How many souls are coming? I know this is going to ruffle a few feathers this morning, but that's what he said. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be a prophet. You will be a teacher. So those are gifts. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. And you will take the gospel to the four corners of the world. And it is a sad day in the American church when it's like, all right, we all have different levels. So if you're not out of place yet, you've never stepped out and told somebody about Jesus, come on, you can get an invite card to church and leave it, you know, with a healthy tip for your waitress. You can leave it in the grocery store, in the convenience store as seeds. There's going to be a time that God's going to call you to share your faith. you know, a staggering statistic that I heard that is that 70% of people living in America, will never personally be invited to church. 70% will never personally be invited to church. How sad is that? America has had the great history of sending missionaries all around the world while we fly over the greatest mission field that there is. So we want to see a move of God. We want to see revival. But God, evangelize, tell somebody else about Jesus. And most of the time, I'll be honest with you, we don't want other people to know that we're a Jesus follower. Why? Because it's going to hold us accountable for what we say and what we do. And we realize that our lives aren't looking like the gospel. So I don't want them to know I'm a Jesus follower. Come on. We want revival. But God is saying, what are you willing to send up? What are you willing to sacrifice? What part of your comfort, your time, your pride are you, is God asking for you, asking for? What step of obedience are we resisting? Come on. I don't want to just feel the thunder. I want to be a part of the fire. Every great revival that this planet has ever seen has come on the back of people sacrificing. What if the next move of God doesn't start in a stadium, but in your sacrifice, in your prayer closet, in your local church? You can trace back every great revival to usually one or two people who prayed. The Welsh revival started that way, with one young man crying out to God. Why, somebody on the earth started sending up vapor, started sending up the aroma of sacrifice. Today, God's eyes are roaming to and fro in the earth, seeking who is willing to pay the price for revival? Who's willing to really lay down their lives, not in just lip service, but in action? Who's willing to come to prayer? Who's willing to come and sacrifice time that could easily be spent Netflixing and vacationing and convenience? And I'm not saying that those things necessarily are wrong within themselves, but when we can spend an easy 3-4 hours Netflixing, but won't spend 45 minutes in a prayer service, and then look at the church and say, You're not doing enough. We've got a problem. And I'm submitting to us today that the problem isn't on God holding out. The problem is on we're not sending up smoke. We're not sending up vapor. We're not sending up the aroma of sacrifice. And here's my call to us today. We can choose to sit back and do what we've always done and see a generation come and go without a significant move of God. Or we can realize that the mantle is resting on our shoulders. No one is coming in to rescue us. If this generation is to be saved, it will be saved through you and I offering to God blood. And him responding with fire and with thunder. I know this is a hard message for a Monday morning at 8 a.m. I get it. But we can't just sit back and partake of teaching after teaching after teaching. Notebook after notebook after notebook filled with word and do nothing with it. We have to step up and use what we've learned to win a generation. So, Father, I pray today that you would begin to stir within our heart and within our spirit this desire to not just be hearers, but doers. to not have faith without works, that we would realize that what you are wanting to do in this earth is resting on whether or not we offer sacrifice in this generation. That we bring blood, we bring the aroma to the table. Would you help us, Father, shake out of complacency and shake out of our lethargy? Would you start a fire on the inside of us that burns bright? Would you baptize us again in the Holy Spirit that causes us to be true witnesses, that sends us from our comfort zone out to the four corners of this world? Would we be a light? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for being on with me today. Now, if you're watching on a platform, one way you can evangelize, come on, is simply hit the share button right here. Be a digital missionary, we call them. Hit this share button. Tag some people in this. Send this out to some brothers and sisters in Christ who need to hear that the revival is waiting on us. Well, no, I don't want people on my social media to know I'm a part of that kind of church, that I listen to that kind of teaching. You better, right? Let's be digital missionaries. Let's spread the gospel everywhere we can. So do that today. Like, share, subscribe, comment. Let people know we are on fire for Jesus here on the Pioneer Channel. And we are on mission to see the kingdom of heaven invade the kingdom of this earth. Amen. I'll see you tomorrow right back here on Good Morning Live. Be blessed and have an amazing day in God. Bye-bye for now.